Well, for all of those who heard the Beach Boys were going to be here today, that's it. Rick's away, so we can do stuff like that. He's in California, so I guess he'd be okay with that. Well, summer's finally arrived, and I think, you know, it's a great way to kick off summer with a quintessential American band like the Beach Boys, of course. And I mean, the Beach Boys are great. They've got some great music. It's all about sun and surf and good times. You know their songs. Surfer Girl, Surfer Safari, 409, Don't Worry Baby, Good Vibrations. Any others? Help Me, Rhonda. Help Me, Rhonda. 409. Yes, 409, I said that, yeah. Wipeout. Yes, exactly, Wipeout. What's over here? Yes, Little Deuce Coupe, right. Absolutely, so many really, really good songs. So what explains this tune right here? It's all about secrets and worries and fears and crying and sighing and, you know, hiding out in my room. What's the popularity behind this, well, kind of melancholy song, which when it was released in 1963 was in the top 40? And Rolling Stone magazine still has it at number 242 of their top 500 list. It's quite interesting. Composer Brian Wilson, who'll be on the far right in the picture coming up, acknowledged that this song is actually about him and his experience. Brian suffered from severe agoraphobia, and he had this since he was a young kid, which is a mental illness. And it's a severe form of anxiety where you don't want to go outside, you don't take public transportation, you don't want to be caught in the public because you might get a panic attack. And therefore, standing up even in a line or an enclosed place or being in a crowd can be very nerve-wracking. Just the thought of that happening. And Brian tried all kinds of things to deal with this. In fact, soon after this song was released, Brian got into LSD. He started to do cocaine. And all of this made his situation even worse. In fact, he started to have schizophrenia from doing the LSD. But he's not alone. He's not alone, as we've learned. We all have experienced forms of anxiety in terms of fear, worry, you know, loss of self-control, feeling helpless in a situation. I mean, think about when you had to do a school exam, right? I mean, and of course, anxiety is all over the level. But think about when you had to do a school exam and you got all nervous. Some of you will be getting nervous now that I mentioned that, because school exams will be coming. How about when you had to do the driver's road test, right? Wow, so much was hanging on that. Or that job interview as you waited, you know, for the boss to open the door. You sat there sweating, and sometimes there was somebody else sitting there too. And you thought, oh no, I don't know how this is going to go. Or every time you cross a border, right? A little bit of anxiety comes up. Or sometimes when you go to a doctor's office, you're waiting to catch a plane, you're in the plane, and they're showing those airplane movies, right? A plane's crashing and stuff like that. Or public speaking. That's normal fare to have anxiety. That's normal fare. But others of us have experienced even increased rates of anxiety over fears about our health. You know, waiting for a result from a doctor. What is that test really going to say? How come they haven't called me? Or if we've had sick children, right? What's going to happen? How are they going to grow up? Are they going to be healthy? We heard some of that last week here on the stage, if you were here. What about the potential loss of employment? Or some of us have gone through separation or divorce, or we may be in the midst of that this morning. That creates lots of anxiety. Anxiety is not only in our thoughts, but it's in our feelings. And it is not only in our feelings, but we can actually feel it in our bodies. Where do you feel anxiety? Do you feel it in the shoulders? Do you feel it in the stomach? Do you get back pain? Do you get tension headaches? I often have trouble sleeping when I have anxiety. I can't sleep. I start eating salt. I'm not a big sugar fan, so if my wife notices I'm buying more potato chips, that's a sign that I'm going through anxiety. Recently, we had lots of potato chips at our house. Sometimes it's being fixated on a problem that we can't overcome. And the reality is that anxiety is actually increasing in our society. And we're seeing young kids, for various reasons, having more anxiety. And you know that if you're a school teacher, right? Now, you're not just teaching anymore, you're parenting, you're just hoping they can make it. In fact, part of your job is now, it seems, to feed them. We have more anxiety in our society. And certainly the precarious nature that the world is in, once again, doesn't help our anxiety. And there's all kinds of degrees of anxiety. I don't want to underestimate that. But what we want to talk about today is what we would call everyday anxiety or short-term common anxiety. And due to anxious thoughts, as I said, I've experienced sleepless nights and felt the stress in my body. And in talking with some of you in the last 10 days, you too have had anxious thoughts as well. And I think we'd all like to know how to deal with anxiety. If you Google it, here's some of the common things that you'll be told. It's good advice. And it goes something like this, you know, sleep 7 to 8 hours a day, make sure that you eat well, have a hobby, exercise, maybe talk to someone, go see a doctor, you know, make sure that the causes aren't biological or chemical in any way. And all of that is really, really good advice, and it's really helpful. But the problem with some of these ideas, and even ideas like hypnosis and so forth, is they're wonderful, they're helpful, but I really think that they don't address the spiritual cause or cure for anxiety fully. And what we are really blessed with in the Bible is to have the Bible help us with anxiety. And the Bible repeatedly talks about anxiety. In fact, one of the common phrases in the Bible has to do with anxiety. And it says, do not fear. It's repeated overly, do not be afraid, do not worry. Jesus said, do not worry. It doesn't add anything to your life. People were worrying in his time as well. Other phrases are, do not be discouraged, do not be dismayed. That's easy to say, but hard to follow. Right? It's really easy to say, oh, do not worry. Yeah, okay, man. But, you know, look at Brian Wilson, right? So if it says do not, I'm going to take it that it means it's something we can actually overcome. I mean, if the Bible says don't do this, it wouldn't just do it because we couldn't do it. It must mean that we can overcome this. And there is hope. And more importantly, we want to ask, what does the Bible say about overcoming common anxiety? So let's turn to our text this morning, Psalm 100. You can go on your phones, tablets, or if you don't have those with you, you can look up on the screen as I read from Psalm 100. It's written by David, who was very familiar with anxiety and depression. And it says this, interestingly enough, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. I don't know, but that doesn't really seem to square up with anxiety, right? Because when I have anxiety, I'm not joyful. I'm not glad. I'm not in a singing mood. I'm not about giving thanks. So what has that got to do with anxiety? When I'm in anxiety, I'm really consumed by my own negative thoughts and the emotions that I'm experiencing, and I want to know how I can escape them. My questions aren't about worshiping God. They're about, why is this happening to me? Will this work out? What if this happens? What if that happens? What are they really thinking about me? What should I do? Where's God? Am I being punished for sin from the past? Which one? And you see, our self-focus is precisely the problem. Because if you look at this text, it talks about, it says numerous times, right? It talks about God. God is the center. Give thanks to Him. Praise His name. It's not about us. Our self-focus in anxiety is precisely the problem. See, we experience what we focus on. If our thoughts and our feelings are our focus, then we're going to experience them. Our focus actually determines our thoughts and feelings. And whereas this verse directs us to focus on the Lord and His character, we in our anxiety do exactly the opposite. We focus on us. And so no wonder we can't sing or be glad with joy. It's understandable, though. Verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And for many of us, when it comes to anxiety, we're not going to begin at verse 1 and 2. We're not going to, you know, sing and be joyful. This is the place where really we're going to have to start. Verse 3. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. Verse 3 says that for all of our unknowns and what's going to happen in the future and, you know, what's going to happen because of our past, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. Notice that the word know is right in the middle of acknowledge. Some of your Bible translations will say, know that the Lord is God. So for all of our unknowns, we should know this. The Lord is God. In our circumstances, we should just surrender to the God who knows. We should acknowledge that our circumstances aren't actually God and that we are not God ourselves. Our anxious thoughts, when we're focused on them, reveal that we don't actually trust God, but we trust ourselves. We are what we focus on. So this past Tuesday, and actually I would say probably for about 6 weeks, I had been going through all kinds of anxiety for different things and wrestling with it, you know, trying to pray about it and so forth. And it seemed like, you know, I had someone from the church pray with me and I was just doing really great. And then something else came and there I was anxious again. And so I couldn't sleep very well Monday night. I got up early Tuesday morning. And I was going to go downstairs, you know, grab some coffee. I'm not one of those people who gets back to sleep if I wake up. So it was early in the morning, and I was going down partway down the stairs, and I just sat there. And I said, okay, all right, I'm going to have to really deal with this. And so I got out I had my phone with me. I got into my Bible, the discipleship group that I'm part of, the community that I'm part of here at Grace Point. We've been going through Psalm 100, this very psalm. And so I went and read through the psalm a couple of times, and I said, Lord, what do you want to teach me from this? What do you want to teach me from this? And here's what I learned. My greatest need isn't actually for my circumstances to change. My greatest need isn't for my circumstances to change, but to know and be fixated on God. Okay? See, we think if we take away the anxiety, then we're going to be better. And that's helpful, but guess what? Anxiety is going to come again. The Bible says, you know, people are born onto trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have all kinds of troubles. What I was reminded that my greatest need isn't for my circumstances to change, but it's for me to focus on God. To remember that God is the Lord of my circumstances. He's over all of these circumstances. He's not responsible for them, but He's God in all things and at all times. My role is to meet God in them, to seek His strength, gain His perspective, to know the truth. So trust God and focus on God and His truth. That's what's important. And to then surrender to that. And that takes time. But that's what actually starves anxiety, right? Because anxiety grows on the unknown. Anxiety grows on me not being in control. And so if you want to kill anxiety at the root, you have to surrender to the one who knows. You have to acknowledge that the Lord is God and not your circumstances. Trust God. Anxiety is trusting myself. And that's fruitless because I don't have all the power. Later that night, as we had discipleship group, because we've been reading this as a group together, and what we do is we read a scripture together all week, and then when we get together, one of the things we talk about is, how did the Lord speak to you in that scripture, and what are you going to do about it? So we're going around, and one of the folks in the group, relatively new to the group, said, well, I'm going through separation right now. And I'm pretty certain it's going to end in divorce. I'm trying, but my spouse doesn't seem like it's going to work. And I said, wow, that's pretty serious stuff. I said, what did you hear from God as you read this psalm during the week? And they said, you know what I heard? I heard, you're not God. You're not God. So what does that mean? I said, how does that help? And they said, I could release the future to God and be freed from something I wasn't designed to carry. Listen to these words from Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Isn't that beautiful? I think we should all take time to chew on that sometime. And speaking further about focus and where our minds need to be, this is what Proverbs 4:23 says. Guard your heart, that is your mind, above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See that? Where's your focus? Where is your focus? Are you trying to have control over things you actually can't have control over? That's insanity, isn't it? Rejoicing isn't going to result when we're focused on making our circumstance our God or our key focus. And the reality is, we don't have to remain victims of our past, of our circumstances, of our poor decisions, or even our lack of not knowing the future. We need to acknowledge God. Only as we surrender our circumstances and everything that we're going through to God and believe He's God, believe that we are actually the sheep of His pasture, that He hasn't abandoned us, that we're not alone, that His intentions are good, that He will help us, will we find peace and joy. Because one of the things that anxiety attacks is your identity. Well, you deserve this. You had this coming. People told you, and guess what? You got what you deserve. You useless thing. Right? I'm no good. That's what anxiety does. It destroys us. And guess what? The devil loves it. He loves lies. Jesus called him the father of lies. And he gets in there, you know, and he slithers in, and he reminds us. Yeah, you're useless, man. You really are. Your parents were right about you. You got what you deserved, right? And he works in. But let's read this verse again. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. See, that's the truth. But when I'm in anxiety, I don't want to believe that. Where in the world are you, God? I've done this and I've done that and this is what I get. You see, my anxiety comes out of lies Anxiety is based in untruth. The Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. Unfailing love means just because I messed up doesn't mean he stops loving me. But that's exactly what Satan would want me to believe, because his goal is to separate me from God and the life he has. But God's word is true regardless of what I think or feel. I'm the one that needs to correct my thinking. And just remember, thoughts aren't true just because you have them. Thoughts aren't true just because you have them. They're based only on what you know. Feelings just provide information. They're valuable. They tell you something's wrong. They are valuable and we should listen to them. They provide information. They're based on our thoughts. The fact is, 90% of the things that you worry about never happened, thankfully. Is the plane going to crash? You know? If you doubt this, just recall all the times you were never going to make it, and your children were going to get kidnapped, and you couldn't survive this or that situation. And look what happened. You're here this morning. How often were we wrong? Amazing. If you're honest, you know most of the scenarios you imagined never even happened. We need to question our thoughts and questions instead of simply accepting them, folks. Just because I have a thought doesn't mean it's true. Right? Habakkuk 3:17 and 19 states this. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God. Notice, not in my circumstances. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. See, Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet. And the Babylonians had laid everything wasteland. They'd even burned crops. And it was desperate. I mean, people were going to die. And yet, he was able to see all of this and live well in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. And you know, the Lord Jesus hates for us to suffer needlessly. He really does. That's why he said, don't worry. It doesn't add anything to your life. And here's his invitation to us from Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That is my ways. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. That sounds like a cure for anxiety. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Well, actually, it doesn't even give us a burden. So do you have anxiety? Let's respond to Jesus' invitation. So when you came in, you hopefully got a program. And in that program, there's a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper is written a verse. And it looks like this. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Please take it out. And if you don't have a pen, our hospitality team members are there with pen. What I want to challenge you to do as I lead you through an exercise is be able to begin to release yourself from your anxiety. It's sucking the life out of you. This is not God's will for you. He says, do not. Don't do it. Don't do it. He's serious about it. He came to give us life. So if you need a pen, I'm going to encourage you to record the thoughts that are sucking the joy out of your life. And if you feel up to it, we're going to sing some worship songs in a few minutes. If you feel up to it, I want to encourage you, just as a way of cementing that decision and giving it over to God, to come up here and drop it off in this box. And later, we're just going to pray over all of them. Don't put your name on it. And then we're going to destroy them. So as a way of cementing it. Also, we're going to have our prayer team available when we worship. Because to do this exercise, I might have made you really anxious this morning. You came to church, and now all of a sudden you're anxious because I talked about anxiety. And you're going, what exercise are you going to lead us through? I'm getting anxious about that. Don't worry. You can cast all your anxieties on Him. The prayer team is going to be available when we do worship, because sometimes we just need to go to somebody and say, you know what, I really don't believe this. I'm having a hard time. I need somebody to pray me through this, which is what I did not too long ago. So, just to have us focus a little bit, because we're can be distracted by the people around us or by me, I'm going to ask you to do something we don't normally do here. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes. No one's going to pickpocket you, I don't think. So just close your eyes for a moment. And just to kind of center ourselves a little bit, I hope this doesn't give you anxiety. I'm going to ask you to just breathe out. One more time. Just breathe out again. See, what we're doing is we're meeting with God. This is you and God and nobody else. Think about those thoughts or situations that are making you anxious. They're stressing you out. Thoughts, memories that are preoccupying your mind, leading you to worry, get frustrated, avoid people, worry. On your sheet, as they come up, write them down. Don't tell your neighbor what to write down or your spouse. Do your own sheet. What are you fearing? What are you worrying about? Kids, finances, health? I'm going to invite the worship team up here. No pressure, but if you feel like it, at any time while they're leading worship, you can come up and drop it off in the box. If you don't, that's okay. We still know you have anxieties. Also, the prayer team will be available, because this exercise, like I said, can be really difficult and challenging. The worship team is going to lead us in a couple of songs because, you know, the scriptures declare that we are to put on the garment of praise to replace the spirit of heaviness. And as we do so by declaring it in song, we're declaring truths. We're reinforcing the thought in our mind that God is God. He's above all things. We can turn over our unknown to the God who knows it all. We can stop being robbed of joy by our circumstances. Let's worship Him together.